All right. Well, good morning. Great to be here. My name is Hans Rasmussen, one of the evangelists here in the Denver Church of Christ, and grateful that all of you were able to brave the cold weather. I personally am fired up about it. I love me some winter, and it's a great thing here. So if you're here personally or if you're with us online, really grateful for wherever you're at, worshiping with us here together. So we're starting a brand new series this morning called Attack of the Heart. And I have a graphic there, right? Maybe. Some, possibly. It'll come up here in a second. But we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at how we can protect our hearts from the things that attack us every day. And so I want you to think about an area of your life that maybe needs attention, right? We all have areas that need attention. And maybe it's something in your life that needs to be changed. Maybe it's a problem with like eating or anger or pornography or gossip, or maybe for you it's spending. I mean, you name it. All of us, when we realize, we all have problems, right? But most of us, when we realize we have a problem, we start to look at it and we make this list of the behaviors and we're like, oh, we're doing this. And we kind of ask ourselves, what can I do differently, right? We start being focused on the fact that I can't switch my slides. I don't know what's going on. So the next slide there will come up in a second. But we start asking, what can I do differently that'll help me start living differently, right? We go, what actions can I change? How can I change what's going on? And our focus quickly becomes behavior modification. Anybody like fall into that trap a little bit, right? You can start going, oh, let me fix this and let me do this. And it seems like the really obvious solution to modify our behavior if we're doing bad things, right? But that's not the solution. The Bible says that the issue isn't our behavior, the issue starts in our heart. And in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, it says this. It says, but the things that come out of a person's heart, it's these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Like it starts in our heart. That's really the issue where those things come from. And it's why Solomon in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows out of it, flows from it there. And so Jesus, just like Solomon, is saying that the heart is the root. And we have this tendency to focus on behavior. We want to change the way we act, but we won't address the real issue. And so you might think you have an anger problem, but really it's a heart problem. You might think that you have a spending problem, but no, it's actually a heart problem. You may think that you've got an eating problem or a pornography problem or a gossip problem, but in all reality, what Scripture tells us is that it's a heart problem. And you can try and change your behavior, and you might see some temporary changes. You're like, ooh, I tried really, really hard, and I did it. It worked for a couple of months, maybe a couple of weeks. And you go, but then all of a sudden you go, I'm kind of exhausted. I've tried these things and it just doesn't work. And you find yourself right back where you started. And the problem lies with the heart. And that's why Solomon says, hey, above all else, guard it. You know, one of the most guarded areas in the U.S. is Fort Knox. And we don't have to get into the fact of what's there, what isn't there. But it's a pretty big deal, right? So they've got, I was looking up some facts about Fort Knox. And there's 16,500 cubic feet of granite around the vault. There's 1,400 tons of steel that went into building it. And then 4,000 cubic yards of concrete with a vault door that weighs 20 tons. There's four guard boxes, all the latest security technology. And on top of that, like no one person has the combination to the vault. So they can't just go, oh, we'll just get this guy and he'll make him open it up. No, like there's multiple people that all have to put in there. And you might look at that and go, aren't they kind of overdoing it? Because how much is really there anyways? We don't know. Like they won't do an audit, and I get the whole conspiracy theory thing. Okay, don't get stuck on that point, okay? Because I know I'm going to get an email about this from somebody later. But just think about the fact of all the technology, all the security that's going into it. And we look and go, they're kind of overdoing it. And we can think the same thing about our hearts. Because Solomon goes, hey, you know, you might be tempted to think the same thing, but above all else, guard your heart. Because the fact is what's inside of Fort Knox, or what's supposed to be inside of Fort Knox, and our hearts is so valuable that every precaution needs to be taken to protect it no matter what. And in each of our hearts, we have this gold mine or a landmine. Like there's such amazing treasure, so much blessing, so many good things from God, or this landmine that's waiting to blow up. You know, I got the idea for this sermon 3 years ago, a few days after October 17th, 2015. Because October 17th, 2015, I was sitting at a football game, my son's football game, and started to feel funny, felt a little weird, had some back pain. Then I started sweating, and then I started getting nauseous. And then I'm like, I think maybe something probably isn't totally right. And so I'm trying to find Ann. She had gone to the restroom, and she walks up from like 50 yards away and goes, screams, he's having a heart attack. I'm like, no, I just don't feel good. And mind you, she has zero medical background whatsoever. She didn't even know I didn't feel good. And yet, she was absolutely right. So Mark Shelley's there. He and another dad take me to the car. We rush over to the ER that's a couple blocks away. And, you know, at that point, I'm like, okay, I think something's really wrong. And, you know, it was weird because a couple of weeks before, maybe it was several weeks before, I had gone to the doctor. I thought everything was fine, except I had this landmine in my heart physically. You know, he checks my blood pressure. My blood pressure is great. He's like, wow, your blood pressure is really low. That's awesome. I'm like, hey. You know, and then he says, hey, your cholesterol, it's supposed to be under 199. You're at 200. Maybe you should think about taking like some fish oil. I'm like, okay. And he's like, we'll check you in a year. And I go, that's great. But turns out there was a lot more going on than what I thought. And so I end up at the ER. I get in there and I go, okay, I think now something's really wrong. And they said, hey, why don't you sit down, take a seat, and we'll have you fill out some paperwork. And Anne is like, I am not having anything to do with that. And she starts telling this lady what for in a really totally righteous, godly, submissive way. And I can just remember, like, the pain just overcame me. I collapsed, and I just said, help. I need help. And I had this landmine in my heart that needed to be dealt with, and I knew at that point I absolutely needed help. But I think sometimes in our hearts, spiritually, everything can seem fine, and then boom, Houston, we have a problem. And we can try and ignore it, we can try and put it down, and we go, ooh, I got to pay attention. I love how the ESV translates this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. It goes, hey, you've got these springs of life that are coming through your heart. And so just kind of picture it this way. Let's say you're trying to fulfill the I serve thing. Right? Like, I'm going to serve, and you're out on a walk, and you come across this stream, and there's all kinds of trash in this stream. And you're like, I got it. I'm going to clean up the stream. So you spend about an hour cleaning up the stream, and you're looking around, you're like, okay, I got a lot of trash here, but there's still quite a bit more trash. I'm going to come back tomorrow and finish up this trash, because I'm going to get after this. I'm going to clean this up. So you come back the next day, and you go, and you're like, there's just as much trash as there was when I took these several bags of trash out. It's like, I'm going to spend another hour doing it. So you clean up all the trash, and you grab it, and you fill those bags. I'm going to add one more hour. Spend another hour in there, and you go. You come back the next day. There's just as much trash there was the first day. You're like, okay, something is messed up here. So you decide to walk upstream. See what's going on up there. And you walk up a couple of miles, and lo and behold, the stream runs through a trash dump. You go, aha, I see the problem here. It's not the fact that there's trash that needs to be picked up. It's there's a source of trash that's going to keep on coming unless I deal with the source of where this trash is coming from. Can't fix it if you don't fix what's going on up above. And that's the same thing that happens in our heart. And you can go, oh, I need to clean the trash downstream. I need to behavior modify. I need to fix this thing about me. And you go, ooh, that's going to take care of the problem a little bit. And then it's going to come back, and it's going to come back, and it's going to come back unless we deal with the heart. Because we're going to continually be back in that same situation. And I think that's what the Bible says the heart is for us. It's where that trash starts if we're not really in line with God's heart. And so if we don't understand where it comes from, we decide to get rid of it. We work really, really hard. But man, it's just not going to fix it unless we go to what started it. Because the trash that's flowing starts in our heart. I love this quote from John Flavel in a book called Keeping the Heart. It says, "The greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God. The greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God." You know, when I think about all the amazing things that God has done for me, or I look at some of your lives, or I go, man, God has blessed you, God has protected you, God has helped you, God has like aligned your story in amazing ways, all the ways that he's lavished on us, grace and mercy, and you know, I think about the gifts that he gives us in baptism, new life, church membership in God's kingdom, the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and I go, man, that's amazing stuff. And yet, my heart can be pulled away. I'm like, what gives with that? Why does that happen? After all that God has done for me, after all that you experience as a Christian, after all the service you've done, all the family groups that you've led, or all the lessons that you've taught, all the Bible studies you've had, or however it is that you serve God, there still exists this heart pull in our hearts away from God. Colin Smith says it this way: it's a secret, and it's perpetual, and it's alarming how much our heart pulls away from God. It's crazy because I just go, we got all these great things, and yet we get pulled away, and it just, I don't understand it. So have you ever heard of a Stradivarius violin? It's like really expensive violin. Now, when I say really expensive, it's not like, oh, that's a couple of thousand dollars. We're talking millions of dollars for a piece of wood and some string, okay? So millions of dollars, that's expensive. Super valuable, very cherished. And you would think that anything you spend millions of dollars on should work like every time, right? But what's really interesting is when a musician pulls out a Stradivarius violin from the case, what's the first thing they do? They tune it. I spent $1 million on something. I want it to work right. I shouldn't have to mess with it, right? But the very first thing they do when they take this massively expensive instrument out of the case is they tune it. And your heart and my heart are like a violin. It's of great value. Far greater than a violin, far greater than any vault could hold. It's worth the world to God. And I have to tune it. I have to keep it in line with God. I have to keep going on that way because it's what flows from the springs of life in my life. So if you were to go a day or a week or a month with your heart out of tune with God, man, the music in your life starts to get a little wonky, right? Have you ever heard that? You know, somebody's playing around. My daughter, God bless her, decided she was going to play the violin. I was like, oh, no. And she was relatively good, but I can remember the first concert we went to, and I was like, this should be a torture chamber. Waterboarding? No, this. You know, these huge group of people just... And yet I go, man, in my heart, if I'm not in tune with God, is that the same sound that comes out spiritually where I just go, ooh, it's like, ooh, you get that shiver down your spine and you're like, make it stop. It would be ugly. It'd be offensive to the people around you, but most of all, it'd be offensive to God. But if we keep our heart in tune, then something beautiful comes from it. It flows the springs of life, and there's joy, and there's love, and there's peace, and there's strength, and there's courage, there's contentment. All flow out of a heart that's in tune with God. So, you know, where do those springs of life come from? Maybe you think, well, what would really make me happy? If I could just have one thing, what would it be? Where you could look and go, oh, this is life. This is what I really want. And maybe it's, you know, it's this natural instinct, right, for all of us to go after these things. And we look and there's different, feels like there's different things that spring from life. Maybe if you go, ooh, if I was just in a different place that wasn't 22 degrees outside, I'd be totally happy, right? Then you get to that place, you go, I love this place, but it's too humid. And have you seen the size of the bugs? Or maybe you go, you know, if I had a different job, if I didn't have to work for this guy or that gal, or maybe you go, if I was just in a different financial position, or if I just had this relationship, it would fix everything. I would have joy and I have it in my life. And so where do I think the springs of life come from? Is it from being married? Is it from having children? Is it from having children that believe? Is it living in Florida? Is it having enough saved up? Probably not Florida right now, right? Like, hard pass on that, right? Someplace without hurricanes, but has that weather. I don't know. You know, God's telling you the answer because the springs of life flow from your heart. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you carry your own heart with you. And if you guard your heart, the springs of life, man, they're going to be loaded up for you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you're going to, if you're not in tune with God, you're going to carry that unhappiness, a fountain of unhappiness. Because it's that dissonant sound of a screeching violin that just hasn't been tuned. Because no change of circumstance is ever going to change our reality because it comes from the heart. And so keeping our heart is huge. It's the million-dollar question. And so how do we do this? I've got five really quick points in the next 13 minutes that we're going to go through of some ways to keep our heart. And this is not an exhaustive list. So if you go, oh, I add something else to it, we got four more weeks of this, okay? So hold on. So Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the first thing that we're going to do to keep our hearts with all vigilance is this, is that we're going to watch. Keeping our heart with all that vigilance means just watching. A wise Christian watches what's going on. And a wise Christian opens their Bible and they read it. And they look and go, they're watching. How does my life match up with this? How's that going? And you have to look at the Bible, you need to study it, and then you need to look at your heart, and you need to become an expert in your heart. Because no one's in a better position to do this than you, right? Jesus said, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation before he's being crucified. Paul says to Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Paul also said to the Ephesian elders, watch yourself and the flock over which God has made you overseers. So how do we do this? Most of you are going to be familiar with the concept of a dashboard, right? It's that thing in your car that has like dials and lights. The Uber driver has the same thing. So like if you look over their shoulder, that's the thing that tells how fast they're going. Got it? Okay, good. There's a look of confusion over here. So we all have that idea. We understand the dashboard, right? And so when you're driving along, there's, you know, information that you need to keep close on hand, like how fast you're going, right? So if you're going, oh, 65 and a 25, that's a problem, right? You want to check that all the time, but you also want to check how much fuel's left in your tank. That's a good one to check regularly, okay? But then there's like other information on there, the whole temperature and the oil pressure, and you go, I don't even know what that means. Unless a red light comes on, then I know I have a problem, right? A lot of cars now, they don't even have the gauge. They just go, idiot lights is what they call them, right? Thank you. That's me. Like, helpful when it turns red. I know I have a problem. And so we don't watch those constantly, but man, if it pops up red, we need to pay attention to it. And so it's on this dashboard, and it's the same way. It's become really popular in business. There's a business dashboard where you're going, hey, here's things we measure. Just give me the short version of what's going on. Is it a red light or is it a green light? And there's key metrics to watch and things to look at. Are we growing? Are we declining? But what would a dashboard for your soul look like? Well, there'd be red lights and there'd be green lights. And maybe those red lights would be those impulses in your soul, that tendency to keep a secret, that perpetual and alarming departure from God. So maybe there's some examples of some red lights in your life. I think a big red light can be fear. a huge red light. This one should be like the blinking that says, stop the car right now, is pride. The Bible says that greed should be a red light. Resentment, cowardice, anger, being frustrated with God, or maybe just going like coldness in worship where you're like, oh, can we just be done with this part now? I want to get on with my day. I want to go freeze outside. It'd be much better. Or just that sense of going through the motions. I think those are some impulses you want to put on your dashboard and go, hey, if I'm feeling this, it's like a God's early warning sign. Something's wrong. But I think you also have to remember that God says, hey, keep your heart. He doesn't say keep your neighbor's heart, right? We want to look at their dashboard and go, ooh, your dashboard has a problem. Go mind your own dashboard, okay? And I think we need to look at that first. And so I want to encourage you, like, get a pen and paper, put it in your phone, write it down. What are some things that that you go, this is a red light. When that thing starts turning on, I know I got a problem. And start dealing with it. Start looking at it. Start in tuning your heart with God. Don't ignore those things. Make that list of that dashboard so you get some clarity. Because I think that items on your dashboard are going to change over the years. When you have different stages of life and there's going to be new situations that bring new challenges. So you got to keep that dashboard current. John Calvin said that all wisdom can come down to these two parts, knowledge of God and knowledge of ourselves. We got to know God and we've got to know our heart. So don't be a stranger to your own heart and keep it with all your vigilance. You know, watch your heart for changes and trends. A.W. Pink says it this way. He says, for the Christian to keep his heart means for him to pay close attention to the direction in which his affections are moving, to discover whether things of the world are gaining a firmer and fuller hold on him or whether they are increasingly losing their charm. You know, which direction are the things in your heart moving? Keep your heart. You know, the momentum of sin, man, that's always... It always begins with the heart. Go, where did this sin come from? Well, it comes from our heart. It's like a stone rolling down a hill. Have you ever done that where you're like, oh, let's roll this? And like when it first starts to roll, it's really easy. You can put your hand on it and stop it. Once that thing's gone for a little while, there ain't stopping it. It's like when it hits a tree big enough to stop it, it'll stop. And we think, oh, you know, I'll just let this roll for a little while. It won't be a problem. And God goes, no, it's a huge problem. And so keep your heart with all vigilance and watch that first flicker of the red light on the dashboard. And man, every time I hear a story of a Christian who just doesn't make it, who goes, oh, huge moral failure. You go, how did that happen? It started with their heart. And it started with a secret. And it started with just going, I'm just going to ignore those lights on my dashboard. So don't do it. We have to watch. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to investigate. Investigate it. Here it says, Paul in Galatians 5:7 says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Maybe you're looking at your life right now and go, man, there was a time where I had this heart for God, but if I'm really honest, it's gone. You found joy in Christ, and maybe you go, man, I love it, and you're burning, you're on fire, and you just go, I come to church now. And that's about it. Maybe you look and you go, man, I made all these sacrifices, I did all these things, I faced difficulties with courage, but man, something just happened. Who hindered you? Man, you're running so well. Look at it. What's going on and what's keeping you from progressing? Who hindered you? What hindered you? And I think this is a time and a place just to be really honest with yourself and go, man, there's something. Maybe you look and go, I'm not sure. Well, talk to somebody else because typically other people view you way better than you view yourself, right? And just ask them what's going on. Ask God to show you your heart. He says this, says, search me, O God, right? Know my thoughts. See if there's any grievous way in me. I like that version. And just talk it out with somebody. Don't settle for not getting an answer. It is way too important. And I think there's times where I can just go, yeah, I read my Bible, checked it off the list, versus really going, hey, God, show me something in this. Teach me something in this. Tune my heart. Because some have never learned how to do that. Maybe some are just out of practice. Maybe you've just forgotten for today. So get back into practice and just remember that, to dig in there. The third thing, confess. Man, this is an incredible promise of God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in other words, he's saying, hey, if you see a red light, bring it to God. He already knows. Talk to somebody else about it. Trust that Jesus can cover it. Trust that he's the only one who can fix it anyways. And think about this. What was the last sin that you confessed? Has it been a while? And there's some pretty strong words about people who say, I have no sin, so I don't even talk about it. God says, ooh, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. That's not something I want to hear from God, and I would recommend to you that's not something you want to hear from God either, right? But I think there's so many times that we can just forget that we need to do this. And again, this A.W. Pink quoted as saying this. He says, many talk about salvation, but few experience the joy of it. There's much of the form of godliness, but little power of it. Oh, how rare it is to find any who know anything experimentally of the power that separates from the world, delivers from self, defends from Satan, makes sin to be hated, Christ to be loved, truth to be prized, and error and evil to be departed from. You know, I just look at this and I go, confession is a huge thing. What's missing for you? Is it watching? Is it investigating? Is it confessing? And I think that confession comes to God first. But man, if you're not able to talk to somebody honestly and openly who really cares about you, who really trusts you, it's going to be a hard thing for you. Because I just go, man, it's your job. It's your responsibility. It's not somebody else's. Because gone are the days where somebody's going to call you and go, hey, you haven't confessed this week. I got to thinking a couple months ago, I was like, I can't think of the last time somebody just asked me, like, hey, how's this sin going? Or, you know, do you need to confess? I'm like, it's been a while. And I don't mean that critically. I just mean, I got to take the responsibility for that. I need to guard my own heart. I have to have vigilance about my own heart. But it kind of jolted me. I'm like, gosh, I need to talk about this. And I could see red lights on my dashboard. And for me, I know with my anger and impatience, like, that's my red light. Like, ooh, something's wrong. I need to figure it out. But oftentimes, it takes me a day or two sometimes to even realize that I've been angered. And man, I need to confess those things. I need to confess the temptation before it becomes a sin. You go, oh, I'll just wait to confess till it's really full blown. That's like the boulder rolling down the hill. If you talk about it right away, it's like, oop, it stopped. Don't wait for it to roll all the way down. And I just need to keep on doing it. I need to take responsibility week after week, year after year. Not because somebody asked me, but because I'm trying to keep my heart with all of vigilance. So then the fourth thing we're going to do is we're going to commit. You know, for every light on the dashboard showing things that pull us away from God, there's kind of green lights that show us the opposite. And I think green lights are those things that pull our soul, that reflect the fruits of the Spirit, that pull us in the right direction. The fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You go, man, those are good things. I think courage would be on that list as a fruit of the Spirit. Forgiveness absolutely should be a fruit of the Spirit. And if you've got little kids or you've been around little kids recently, telling them don't do something doesn't work as good as distracting them with something they want to do. Right? Like you go, don't touch the light socket. Give me that key, right? That's a bad thing to do, you know. And you go, no, but let me help you focus on something that you want to play with, that brings you joy. I go, it's the same thing with us. Don't just focus on, oh, I can't do this. This is a bad thing I should never do. Don't get angry. Or I could go, no, I'm going to focus on the good things. Man, I've loved doing this I Serve campaign and serving in different areas. And Anna and I served last night, and we were at this EFA fundraiser and helping sell candy bars for, like, ridiculous amounts of money, by the way. And it was just fun. We're talking to people and going to a good cause, and they do emergency services for people. And I go, it was just fun. You know what I didn't think about the whole time I was serving? Problems and stress, and I need to do this and work on that. It was just fun to just focus on something that God calls me to focus on, helping those in need. And so if you just go, I'm frustrated, I don't know what to do, find somebody to serve, find a way to help, and then you know what? The thing that you're most frustrated with, figure out 10 things to be grateful for with it. If it's your job, start being thankful for it, praying for your boss, praying that you have money, that they pay you to do what you're doing, right? And don't get so stuck on the old. Don't get so stuck on the things that frustrate you. Another quote from this book. It says, the best security for the soul against the allurements of Satan is to have engaged with the lovelier and more satisfying object. A heart which is filled and engaged with good is best protected against evil. He goes, man, just fill it with the good things. Identify the green lights. And just try to go for it. Don't stop just doing the bad, but focus on the things that really excite you and get you motivated. And then fifth and finally, trust. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, a person who's far from God doesn't have a lot of interest in looking into their own heart. But when God gives you a new heart, you have a new interest in keeping it, and he calls you to do that. Keep it in tune with him. So examine your heart to discover the trends that are going on, the things that are pulling you away. And man, if something is ungodly in your life, talk about it. But see, when godly people look at their own hearts, I can find it discouraging because I go, look at all the way God, all the ways that God has blessed me, and I still can be pulled away from him. I go, gosh, there exists that secret, perpetual, alarming departure from what God calls good. And so don't get defeated. Don't get discouraged. Robert McMurray says it this way. He says, for every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ. There's been a theme today. It's only God who can fix you. It's only God who can make up for this. And I think as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, we have to remember that it's by the blood of Jesus that we're cleansed. And we didn't just need that at baptism to be saved once. We need Jesus every day to be saved continually. And it doesn't mean being religious and I have this moral superiority, and that's not Christian faith. We need the cleansing blood of Jesus, and those sins that lurk in my heart are not greater than the power of Jesus' blood to cleanse my life, to cleanse your life. And you know what's amazing is he loves to do it. He loves to give us a new heart. I want to end with this scripture in Ezekiel 36. It's God speaking. He says, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You know, if you haven't committed your heart to God, if you haven't made Jesus Lord, man, don't wait. You never know. You know, shortly after my heart attack, I started counting the days. And it's really helped me. Because you never know how many more days you got. So far, God's given me 1,093 more days. But I don't know if I have tomorrow. And you don't know if you have tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. And I have this gift of a constant reminder of how close I came to dying. You know, the doctor after the heart attack said, man, you're super lucky. And I go, yeah, I know. And he goes, no, I don't think you do. He said, more than 50% of the people who have your kind of heart attack, they never make it to the hospital. They don't make it. They don't get a second chance. And as long as your heart is beating, as long as you're sitting right here, you have another chance for God to give you a new heart. It's not for you to work super hard and fix it. It's for you to surrender to the creator of your soul and trust him. You know, I saw this quote from Andrew Gray that I think kind of sums up the whole sermon in one sentence. Probably should have just started with this and been done. but it says Christians can never trust their hearts too little, and they can never trust God too much. See, keeping our hearts with all vigilance, for out of it flows the springs of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just love you. And I'm so thankful for you. As Father, as we were singing this morning and just worshiping you, I think the fact that you love us, that you protect us, that you care for us, just overwhelmed me. God, that you would love a sinner like me. God, I'm so grateful that you love sinners like us, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to be the sacrifice for all of our sins, both past, present, and future. And Father, I just pray that you'd give us the courage to really have our hearts be in tune with your hearts. Because God, we know that we can't work hard enough, we can't do enough good things to make up for all the sin and all the separation that our sin causes. But yet, Father, it says in your word that you rise to show us mercy, that you long to be gracious to us. And Father, I pray that us, this room of sinners, would feel that mercy, would feel that grace, would feel that love, and feel a conviction to change our hearts and put them in tune with you. God, at the same time, knowing that we can't do it without you. Father, guide our hearts and help us be in tune with your Spirit and not to fight against us. Help us to watch and investigate, to really, really commit, but more than anything, God, to trust that you know and you want good things for us, Lord. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't keep that gift of salvation just to ourselves, but to help us to spread it to others. Help us to be excited to serve. Because, God, I think there's no time that my heart is closer to you than when I'm doing the things that you do, giving and serving and forgiving and loving and having the courage to stand up for what's right, God. I love those times. It invigorates me. It excites me. And, Father, I'm just grateful that you've given me one more day. God, help me never forget that it's your grace and it's your mercy that sustains me. Help all of us never forget that, God, we can only make it through you, and that you have amazing plans for each and every one of us. Help us to make an impact, Lord, with each and every day you give. Lord, we love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.